Radha Madhava Kunda Vihari. No, not that one, not that one. Another one, okay? You guys.
Nadiya Godrume Nityananda Mahajan Pati Achana Mahata Jivara Karan Nadiya Godrume Nityananda Mahajan Pati Achana Nadiya Godrume Nityananda Mahajan Pati Achana Mahata Jivara Karan Nadiya Godrume Shraddhavan jan hai, Shraddhavan jan Shraddhavan jan hai, Shraddhavan jan Pati achana mahata jivara karan Pati achana mahata jivara karan Pati achana mahata भूरा जाय भाई मागिए दीक्षा प्रभुरा जाय भाई मागिए दीक्षा बोल कृष्ण भज कृष्ण पर कृष्ण शिक्षा बोल कृष्ण बोल कृष्ण भज कृष्ण पर कृष्ण शिक्षा बोल कृष्ण Nadiya Godrume Nityananda Mahajan Pati Achana Mahata Jivara Karan Nityananda Mahajan Pati Achana Mahata अपराध शून्य है लह कृष्ण नाम अपराध शून्य है लह कृष्ण नाम हरि कृष्ण माता कृष्ण पिता कृष्ण धन प्राण ओ कृष्ण माता कृष्ण पिता कृष्ण धन प्राण ओ Nadiya Godrume Nityananda Mahajan Pati Achana Mahata Jivara Karan Nadiya Godrume Nityananda Mahajan the Shunya Hai Krishna Rasam Sara Koro Chari Anachar Krishna Rasam Sara Koro Chari Anachar Ajive Daya Krishna Naam Sarva Dharma Saar Ajive Daya Krishna Naam Ajive Daya Krishna Naam Sarva Dharma Saar Ajive Daya Krishna Naam Anadriya Nadia Ah Nadia Ah Nadia 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 Gaudrume Nityananda Mahajan Bhakti Achana Mahata Jivera Kara Nadia Gaudrume Nadia Gaudrume Nityananda Mahajan Pati Achana Mahata Jivera Karan O Shraddhavan Jan Hai Shraddhavan Jan Shraddhavan Jan Hai Shraddhavan Jan Nitai hai Nitai hai Pati Achana Mahata Jivera Karan Pati Achana Mahata Jivera Karan O Nityananda Mahajan, Nityananda Mahajan 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 O Nitai Hai Nitai hai Nityananda Mahajan ki
Jai. I'm so fortunate. Thank you very kindly. Hare Krishna. That was the best part of class. Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Jai Nitai. Hare Krishna. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deva Gauravani Pacharani Nivishesha Sunyavadi Pashyata Desitarani. Last night I was thinking, I really want to sing Nadia Gaudrume. And I know I'll just totally mess it up. Hadi Lord. Thank you very kindly. Okay, the translation, because that's also so sweet. In the land of Nadia, on the island of Gaudrume, the magnanimous Lord Nityananda has opened up the marketplace of the holy name, meant for the deliverance of all fallen souls. Oh, people of faith, by the order of Lord Gauranga, oh brothers, I beg these three requests of you. Chant Hare Krishna, worship Krishna, and teach others about Krishna. Being careful to remain free from offenses. Just take the holy name of Lord Krishna. Krishna is your mother. Krishna is your father. And Krishna is the treasure of your life. Giving up all sinful activities, carry on your worldly duties only in relation to Lord Krishna. The showing of compassion to other souls by loudly chanting the holy name of Krishna, is the essence of all forms of religion. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, author of Chaitanya Bhagwat, that this is not, sorry, these are my notes, okay. Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur, author of Chaitanya Bhagwat, he's explained that there are two festivals that are really important for the devotees. One is Gaur Purnim, and the other is Nityananda Trayodasi. So, and these two festivals, they shower mercy and blessings by which we can attain love of Godhead, and we just beg the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, the mercy of the devotees, the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, the mercy of Lord Nityananda, that we can take advantage of these days. There are special days where the mercy channel is really opened. The mercy channel is really opened. And if we take advantage of these days and offer our prayers, realistic prayers, to the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, we'll see that our path on devotional service becomes so much more easier to traverse. Doesn't mean that there won't be any obstacles or there won't be any difficulties or any problems or any agitations, but they'll be easier to traverse. So we'll start off the class with just a few verses from the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita. In the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, the first chapter, Krishna's Kaviraj, he sets the whole pace for the whole, he sets the whole foundation for the rest of the 17 volumes of Chaitanya Charitamrita by establishing the different positions of the different personalities. So of course, 1-1, Vande Gurun Isha Bhaktam Isha Ishva Vatarakam Tat Prayaksham Chatat Chakti Krishna Chaitanya Samgitam. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the spiritual masters, the devotees of the Lord, the Lord's incarnations, his plenary portions, his energies, and the primeval Lord himself, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Vande Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodito Gaudadaye Pushpavanto Chitrasandau Tamonudau. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya and to Lord Nityananda, who are like the sun and the moon. They have arisen simultaneously on the horizon of Gauda to dissipate the darkness of ignorance and thus wonderfully bestow benedictions upon all. I'm going to skip a few verses and then I'll go to verse 7. May Sri Nityananda Ram be the object of my constant remembrance. Sankarshan, Seshanaga, and the Vishnus who lie on the Karana ocean, Garbha ocean, and the ocean of milk are his plenary portions and portions of his plenary portions. I surrender unto the lotus feet of Sri Nityananda Ram, who is known as Sankarshan, in the midst of the Chaturvyuha, consisting of Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. He possesses full opulences and resides in Vaikuntha Loka far beyond the material creation. I offer my full obeisances unto the feet of Sri Nityananda Ram, whose partial representation is called Karanadakshay Vishnu, lying in the Karana ocean. That person is the original Purusha, the master of the illusory energy, and the shelter of all the universes. I offer my full obeisances unto the lotus feet of Sri Nityananda Ram, a partial part of whom is Garbhodakshay Vishnu. From the navel of Garbhodakshay Vishnu sprouts the lotus that is the birthplace of Brahma, the engineer of the universe. The stem of that lotus is the resting place of multitude of planets. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the feet of Sri Nityananda Ram, whose secondary part is the Vishnu lying in the ocean of milk. That Shirodakshay Vishnu is the supersoul of all living entities and the maintainer of all the universes. Seshanag is his further sub-part. Omaginatim inandasya jinanjana salakaya chaksur umilitam jena tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. So after hearing and trying to comprehend those statements by Sri Krishnadas Kaviraj, we can see that taking shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda is no small accomplishment. The mercy of Lord Nityananda, of Lord Balaram, Nityananda is the same as Lord Balaram, that mercy is so powerful, and that Lord Nityananda is so powerful, that if we sincerely offer our prayers to him today or any day or any time, but especially today also, we can try to remember we're not taking shelter of any wimp. We're not taking shelter of anyone who has a problem executing things. We're not taking shelter of anyone who has, you know, some power that can help us some ways. We're taking shelter of that personality who can lift us out of this material world and bring us right to the lotus feet of Radha Shyama Sundar. And that's his glory, and that's his mercy, and that's his mission. Lord Nityananda's mission is to facilitate bringing other people to the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya, who will bring them to the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. That's his pleasure. That's the pleasure that he takes. He doesn't get distracted doing other insignificant things. His pleasure is to bring others to him. And Lord Nityananda serves Lord Chaitanya in so many different varieties of ways. He doesn't have only one way that he serves the Lord. So many varieties of ways that he serves the Lord. And in so many different leelas he served the Lord in varieties of ways. And all of them are embodiments of his attitude. Although he is the same as Krishna, the same potent Lord as Krishna, in the form of Balaram, in the form of Lord Chaitanya, he's the same. But his attitude is as servitor. So that's a very interesting concept to meditate on, that he's showing us over and over again that service to the Vaishnavas, service to the Lord, service to others, that's the highest pleasure. And that's why one of our challenges in devotional life is to change our attitude from I, me, and mine, and I'm the most important, and I'm the one, and don't you recognize me, and I'm, to, oh, let me, what can I do? How can I serve? What can I do? And taste that ecstasy, that loving attitude of service is higher than all the other mellows that one can taste. So in Ram Leela, Lord Balaram, he serves as Lakshman, as you all well know for sure, and he serves as the younger brother, and his whole identity as Lakshman was, I'm the servant of Lord Ram. And even though he was not banished to the forest like his elder brother was, he didn't even consider for a second that, oh, I'm going to live separate. No, I'm going to the forest, I'm going to serve Lord Ram, I'm going to serve Sita in any menial way possible. But it was really hard for him, in the sense of to see all the austerities and difficulties that Lord Ram undertook. And as the younger brother, his position wasn't to advise him, you know, and say, don't do that, whatever. So in Chaitanya Leela, he takes birth as Lord Nityananda, he appears as Lord Nityananda, and he takes the role of the elder brother, so that he can... but not to dominate, but in order to taste that role of service to him. So it's always thinking. So even in the neutral sense, Lord Balaram expands himself as the bedstead of the Lord, the pillow. In the servant mood, he's carrying out as Lord Nityananda, he's carrying out the orders of Lord Chaitanya. In a friendly mood, he's offering service to Lord Chaitanya. In a parental mood, he's caring for Lord Chaitanya. And in conjugal rasa, he's always distributing the holy names. This is how he's distributing the holy names and asking people to chant Lord Gauranga's name and thereby achieve the mercy of Lord Krishna and thereby enter into their personal relationship with Krishna. Lord Nityananda's name means that he's the very source of eternal happiness, Nityananda. And if you consider it, happiness is what everybody wants. We just have this funny conception of what makes us happy. And oftentimes, when we can examine what we think makes us happy, actually is a source of suffering. But still, the idea, the search for happiness is what everybody wants. And Lord Nityananda, he has that. He has that in the proper perspective, that the source of our happiness, again, is in relation to Krishna, as if when we're reestablished in our position as servant of the Lord. And how do we get that? How do we connect with that relationship is through the mercy of the spiritual master, who is also the representative of Lord Nityananda. Lord Balaram's the original Adi Guru, Nityananda, and our spiritual master, they are absorbing in that mood of bringing the living entities out of their illusion and bringing them to the real source of happiness. Just like a parent in a parental mood, you see your child doing something that you know that's, you know, going to just cause them pain, and it pains you more to see that. And then you're trying, you know, to cajole and inspire, and sometimes, depending on their age level, forcibly to restrict them from doing things that are ultimately going to harm them. And that's the role of in that mood. So the spiritual master, he's the one who gives us the instructions of the Lord that can put out the fire. This fire that's burning in our hearts of material enjoyment. That, just like the very first prayer that we offer in the morning, samsara davana lalila loka. The desire for material happiness burns in our heart like a forest fire. And certainly these last couple of years we've seen the devastating effects of different forest fires around the country and around the world. Thousands and thousands of acres destroyed in these wild brush fires. And how does it get extinguished? They make so much effort. Planes dropping chemicals on the ground. They're trying to make fire barriers and so much effort. But actually it's extinguished when it gets that big. It has to be extinguished just by the weather factor, you know? You know, if the winds calm down, if the rains come. So the spiritual master is like that. He's putting out that forest fire material and enjoyment by bringing the rain cloud of mercy and understanding of our position, so that we can actually act in the proper way, so that we can... It's not a question of deserve. It's mercy and justice are two different things. It's not a question of justice. I've come, I've chanted, I've done this, I've done that for so many years, therefore now give me your mercy. It's not like that. Mercy is causeless, and it's there. But there are qualifications. Qualification is one has to be willing to receive the mercy. Krishna's giving his mercy. Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, they're giving their mercy. And are we willing to accept that mercy? Sometimes it's difficult to see things as mercy. But if we... you know, the different difficulties in our life, to see them as mercy. But actually, if we see everything that's happening to us in the form of mercy, this is a mercy challenge, or this is a mercy whatever situation, cause of disturbance to help me keep my mind fixed on the Lord, then things fall into proper place. Justice is something that's you have to have some merit for. Justice, this, that, that. Mercy is just the cause. We have to pray for that causeless mercy. So, Lord Nityananda would serve Lord Chaitanya in so many different varieties of ways. Sometimes it even appeared like he served him in ways that displeased him. But ultimately, everything was because he understood the inner desire of the Lord. So, The pastimes of Lord Nityananda's appearance were told to Janava, Janava Mata, when she, this was way after, after Lord Nityananda disappeared from the planet. Lord Janava was traveling to Vrindavan with her entourage, who include Narottam Das Thakur and many other great Vaishnavas. And on her way from Vrindavan, after Vrindavan, they stopped at, the whole entourage stopped at Ekachakra, Ekachakra Gram. And they are stopping at Ekachakra Gram, and because she, Janava and Vasudha, the two wives of Lord Nityananda, they never had the association of Lord Nityananda, or knew their in-laws, their mother-in-law and their father-in-law, because they left their body before she married them. So anyway, she stopped at Ekachakra to try to see the birthplace and the places of pastimes of Lord Nityananda. And they're walking on this road to Ekachakra, and it's covered and it's lined, the pathway's lined by these high majestic trees, but the whole area is very desolate, abandoned, dilapidated. And they're like, what's going on here? And they see in the distance an old Brahmin walking, bent over, so old he's bent over, and he's walking with the help of a stick. But she's immediately attracted to this personality, and she, Janava, goes up to him and says, we've come to see this village of Ekachakra, but I can't understand why it's looking like this now. Why is it so? Do you know anything about this area? Do you know anything about what happened here? Do you know, can you tell us anything about Ekachakra and the residents that used to live here? And the old Brahmin said, yes, as a matter of fact, I was born and raised in Ekachakra. I can tell you a little bit. Come, let's sit under this tree and I'll tell you what I know about Ekachakra. So he starts to explain that Ekachakra, yes, it used to be a very thriving metropolis. He said even the Pandavas had visited Ekachakra. And then an interesting thing that I just found out last night, listening to one lecture, Ekachakra, Eka, one chakra, that has to do with when Bhishma and was fighting in the Battle of Kurukshetra with Arjuna, and they were fighting, and Bhishma had made the promise that he was going to kill the Pandavas the next day with the five special arrows, and then by trickery, Arjuna took the arrows, by Krishna's trickery, Arjuna took the arrows, and then Bhishma was upset, and he said, I'm going to kill these Pandavas the next day, tomorrow, and if because Krishna made me break my promise, if he doesn't defend Arjuna, then I'm going to kill Arjuna. So when they were fighting, Arjuna and Bhishma were fighting, it was got to a point where Arjuna was really, he wasn't fighting with his full strength, because he was seeing that was his reverend grandfather there, and he loved him so much. And Krishna was trying to encourage him, you know, so finally Krishna took that, got off the chariot, ran toward Bhishma, grabbed a broken chariot wheel, and went forward to him. And Bhishma was in ecstasy. And then Arjuna was totally in anxiety, because there's Krishna breaking his promise to protect him. So he runs behind him and grabs a hold of his legs and tries to stop him from that. Krishna becomes pacified and ultimately throws that chakra to Ekachakra Gram. Hare Krishna. That was from a lecture by Lokanath Maharaj last night that I heard. Okay, so now the Brahmin sitting under the tree, Janava Ma is there, and he's telling about how even the Pandavas had come to that Ekachakra Gram previously and killed some demons, etc., etc. It was a very famous place. It was a very thriving place. And even after that, some Brahmins had come to the area who were expert astrologers, and they predicted that in this village of Ekachakra, the Supreme Personality of Lord of Godhead, Lord Balaram himself, will take birth. And the head priest who was making that astrological prediction, he said, "My only regret in life is that I won't be alive when this happens." So the other Brahmins were quite intrigued by that, his prediction, and they all studied his formula and confirmed, yes, it's true. Lord Balaram himself is going to take birth here. So as that was previously to the appearance of Lord Nityananda, then what happened is there was some cell phone ringing, and oh yeah, it went off. Okay, then what happened, there was a drought, and that drought caused a famine in the area, and that famine really oppressed the people. The people were really suffering because of the famine and the drought. But just at that time, practically at the peak of their suffering, that's when Lord Nityananda appeared as the son of Hadai Pandit and his wife Padmavati. Lord Nityananda appeared, and on that very day, the rain came forth, showers of rain came from the sky, and even showers of flowers, and all the people's anxiety was mitigated. So this elderly Brahmin who's recounting the story to Janava, he said, somehow or other, the birth of Nityananda, it mitigated everybody's anxiety in the whole Ekachakra ground. He said, one day particularly, I remember myself being full of anxiety and thinking there's no solution. And then what can I do to get relief from this anxiety? He said, I'm going to go over to Hadai Pandit's house, and I'm going to take baby Nimai on my lap, and that's going to be this. He said, and as soon as I did that, just taking Nimai on my lap, all my anxieties were mitigated. That one. Thank you. The right person. Thank you. That's why I need my coaches and my sons here. That's why I can't let them go away. Thank you. Nitai. Taking Nitai on his lap, he was relieved of all anxieties. So as he grew day by day, the affection of his parents grew, their attachment grew for him also. And we can see, as sadhana bhaktas trying to fix our mind on Krishna somehow or other, we can see that they had the perfectional position. There's their little son, who there's a natural affection for your child anyway, but that child is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it's very glorious and wonderful that their affection was growing day by day. But it also created a little bit of a problem in the sense that Mother Padmavati, she didn't want to let her son out of her lap ever. Like, ever. That's like, overboard. But not really. It's perfection board, actually. So she never wanted to let her son out of the lap. Hadai Pandit, he couldn't live for a few seconds without seeing Nitai, seeing where he was. Where is he? Is he coming? Come, let's go to the fields and check the crops. Come with me. And if he fell behind a few feet, then he's always looking. Come, So they were overly affectionate towards Nitai. But Nitai, as he grew in age and indicated to his mother, "Ma, I need some friends to play with." So she allowed him to start playing with the children in the neighborhood. So then they started playing all sorts of wonderful leelas of Ram Leela, Krishna Leela, so many leelas. And Nitai happened to be the director, the star player, the organizer, and anything else that needed to be done. The coach, the costume designer, everything. He was everything, and he would encourage his friends and give them their lines and teach them what to do, etc. And they would just play day and night, all the time, different pastimes of Lord Krishna. And the children were so attached. His friends were so attached to him that they also didn't want to leave his association. Nobody wanted to leave his association. And that is perfectional. But Lord Nityananda has advented for a purpose. And that purpose is to fulfill the mission of Lord Chaitanya. So he's got that memory in his mind. I need to fulfill the mission of Lord Chaitanya and assist him. So he's in Ekachakra, and he's aware of when Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda appeared about 12 years before Lord Chaitanya. So he's aware of Lord Chaitanya's appearance, but he also knows that he's waiting for him to begin his Sankirtan movement. But he's thinking, how am I going to get out of here? My mother won't let me out of her sight. My father's totally attached. The kids are totally attached. The whole community is totally attached. So he's thinking, I need to devise a plan. So by his divine arrangement, because he is the Supreme Controller, he devised this plan that it's hard to talk about. One day, a sannyasi comes to Ekachakragram. A very beautiful sannyasi comes to Ekachakragram. And he just happens, and Hadai Pandit sees him, invites him to his house, and he feeds him very nicely, and he spends the whole night, the sannyasi and Hadai Pandit spend the whole night talking about Krishna. They spend the whole night talking about Krishna, and in the morning, right before the sannyasi is about to leave, Hadai Pandit very magnanimously says, "Is there any service I can render to you?" Be careful when you say that to a sannyasi, okay? Not me. "Is there any service that I can render to you?" And the sannyasi says, "I don't need anything, actually. But I am going on its pilgrimage to all the places, all the holy places throughout India, and I have no assistant. Can you please give me your son to be my assistant?" Yeah. It was like a thunderbolt. Actually, even if it was Lord Indra's thunderbolt striking Hadai Pandit, even if it was that wouldn't have been comparable to the devastation that he felt, the tearing apart of the heart. Yes, I just said, and I'm coming from a Brahmin community, so I know that my word is very important and that I should fulfill my word of honor. I just said, whatever you want, I'll give you. Anything that's within my power, I'll give you. And the Brahmin said, "Oh, I just want your son, your life." And of course, he had to remember the position of King Dasarath, immediately thinking, "Oh my Krishna." You know, and he's realizing that he's actually asking for my life. If I give my son Nityananda, how am I going to survive? But because he's asked, I need to fulfill that promise. He's asked, and my promise. So he also consults his wife. Please take note of that. He also consults his wife. What should we do? And she, please take note of this. She says, "Whatever you desire, that's my wish." So at least he only had one, you know, major problem. He didn't have two major problems. He just had one major problem, you know. So he allows his son. And immediately, no goodbyes, no do you need this, do you want this, let me pack up. Immediately he takes Nitai, who's about 12 years old, 11, 12 years old at the time, takes him by the hand, and he leaves. And as soon as he goes out of their little, well, it wasn't a little hut, but anyway, as soon as he goes out of their house, Hadai Pandit crumbles to the ground, completely devastated, completely, you know, nothing's functioning. brain's not functioning, his heart's not functioning, literally he's not breathing, he's literally a pile of rubble on the ground. And Padmavati also. And then very quickly, the residents of Ekachakra Chakra also understand that this sannyasi has taken our life, their life also. He's taken our life. What are we going to do? And so one person, one Brahmin, he comes up with the idea, Nitai doesn't even know how to cook. How is he going to be a good assistant to this sannyasi? He doesn't know how to serve. He doesn't know. He hasn't been trained in that way. He said, I'll give him my son. I'll give him my son and we'll exchange it. Give us our life back. You can have my son. He knows how to cook very well. His mother trained him very nicely. And he can be a very good assistant, much better than Nitai. Just give us back our life. So they all have a similar idea. They all start running around in all different directions to find the sannyasi because he just left. And it's, you know, yeah, he just left. They should be able to find him. They can't find him anywhere. They can't find him anywhere. And that was so devastating for every resident of Ekachakra. Not only Hadai Pandit and Padmavati, but every resident of Ekachakra was totally devastated when that sannyasi took Nitai out. And he went very happily, too. Anyway, so Hadai Pandit and Padmavati were so absorbed in thinking of Nityananda, they did not eat. They did not sleep. They did not drink water, not even a drop of water, for the rest of their lives, which only lasted a few more months. And after 3 months of separation, Hadai Pandit was totally mad in absorption of Nityananda. He would say, some days he would come into the house and he would say, here, Nimai's coming back. Here, Nimai, come and eat the rice your mother's made. Come, come. And then one day he comes and he says to Padmavati, I see him. He's right over there by the Prasadam Pavilion. He's coming back. He's coming back to Ekachakra. The sannyasis brought him back. Oh no, that's not him. That's somebody else. And he would faint away. He was so absorbed. And then after a few months, he left his body. He left, both of them left their bodies behind and went to their eternal abode and the eternal service to the Lord, where there's never any separation. In the meantime, Nitai is traveling with sannyas. They go up to the Himalayas. They go down to the southern tip of India. At one point, they're in the western side of India, and they come to the place where Lakshmipati Tirtha. Nityananda Prabhu. He comes to a house where the Brahmin is very excited because coming the next day will be his spiritual master, who is Lakshmipati Tirtha. So Lakshmipati Tirtha has a dream that night, and his worshipable deity is Lord Balaram. So in that night, before meeting Nityananda, Lakshmipati Tirtha dreams of Lord Balaram appears to him in a dream, and Balaram tells him, tomorrow, first thing in the morning, a young devotee is going to come to you and ask for initiation. Give him this mantra. And he gives him a special mantra. And so sure enough, the next day, the next morning, here comes Lord Nityananda into the presence of Lakshmipati Tirtha, and he asks for initiation. And Lakshmipati Tirtha is totally ecstatic. So he gives him this special mantra that Lord Balaram had given him. He gives it to Lord Balaram in the form of Nityananda. And he has this tremendous feeling of affection for Lord Nityananda without really knowing him or knowing why or knowing what it is, what the source of it is. Anyway, that evening, he has another dream. And in the evening dream,
Lakshmipati Tirtha.
Yeah, but what does he say? Lord Balaram, Balaram comes to him and shows, oh, yeah, thank you. You're helping. Lord Balaram comes to him and says, and reveals that Lord Nityananda is, he is Lord Nityananda, and therefore he's totally ecstatic. And he leaves. He goes on meditating on how he's so fortunate to have Lord Balaram as a disciple, and he continues that meditation and ultimately leaves the world in that ecstatic state. Not like right away, but ultimately. So, also in the western part of India, he comes across Madhavendra Puri. Lord Nityananda and the sannyasi, they come across Madhavendra Puri. And Madhavendra Puri is so attracted by Lord Nityananda too. He says, I've never seen ecstatic love exhibited in anyone else as it is exhibited in Lord Nityananda. And so they dance and chant together for they talk Krishna Katha for 3 days straight, day and night, and dance and have kirtan together and have a wonderful meeting, and then continue on their ways. So Lord Nityananda, somehow or other, he's waiting for Lord Chaitanya to manifest, to start the Sangirtan movement. And I'll admit, I don't know what actually happened to the sannyasi that he was traveling with, but at some point, Lord Nityananda ends up in Vrindavan. And he's staying in Vrindavan, and he's going to stay there till Lord Chaitanya actually begins his Sangirtan movement. So he's in Vrindavan, and he's by Radhakund in Nityananda Vat, where he's staying, and he's swimming in the Jamuna daily, and he's playing with the coward boys and the cows, and he's just waiting. And finally, when he understands in his heart that Lord Chaitanya has his father has left his body, he went to Gaia, he got initiation, he's taking up the process of bhakti with full strength, he's beginning the chanting of Hare Krishna in Srivas Thakur's house, then Lord Nityananda, he travels over to Navadvip. But he travels over to Navadvip and he hides himself in Nandana Acharya's house. Then Lord Chaitanya, knowing that Lord Nityananda has arrived, tells his devotees, I had a dream last night. A lot's revealed in dreams. Okay, I had a dream last night that this magnificent personality came on this celestial chariot, and he came to Navadvip, and he came right up to my house, and he kept saying, is this the house of Nimai Pandit? Is this the house of Nimai Pandit? He said it about 20 times. Is this the house of Nimai Pandit? So I went out and I saw him and I said, oh, great personality, you're so... what can I do for you? He said, who are you? I don't know. Do I know you? He said, who are you? Lord Nityananda said, or Lord Balaram said, I am your elder brother, and tomorrow we'll get to know each other again. So that was the dream that Lord Chaitanya had the night before he met up with Lord Nityananda. And when he revealed it to his devotees, to his disciples, he said, Srivas, Haridas, go find him. Find out, where is that Lord? Where is Lord Nityananda? A great personality has come. Find him. He's here someplace. And so they took that order as their life and soul and went looking through every nook and corner of Navadvip, and they couldn't find him. They looked in the marketplaces. They looked in everyone's house. They couldn't find him. They come back 9 hours later. 9 hours later, which is a total of 18 hours because there was two of them looking. So, And they said, we can't find him. Lord Chaitanya said, until he reveals himself, he can't be found. So come with me. And Lord Chaitanya immediately just goes to Nandanacharya's house. And there's Lord Nityananda sitting on the veranda. Lord Chaitanya and the devotees, they all offered their prostrated obeisances. And and Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda embraced for the first time, and tears gushing in horripilations and ecstatic symptoms are all there in both of them, and they're, and then Lord Nityananda completely collapses on the ground after being embraced by Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya says to Srivas Pandit, he said, Srivas, recite some verses from the Bhagavatam. So Srivas Pandit is reciting some verses from 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Krishna and Balaram are entering the forest, and the description of Krishna's beauty and his garland and etc., etc. And Lord Nityananda starts to come back to consciousness. Lord Chaitanya encourages him, go on chanting, chant some more verses. And by his chanting other glorifications of the Lord that are there in the Bhagavatam, Nityananda comes to consciousness again. So Lord Chaitanya says, so that was their first meeting. And at the end of that meeting, Lord Chaitanya says, tomorrow is the Vyas Puja day. Where, and he says to Lord Nityananda, where would you like this to be celebrated? And so he looks at Srivas Pandit, and he says, at his house. Lord Chaitanya says, that's a big order, Srivas. Can you handle it? And Srivas says, yes, yes, yes. I already have all the books. I have all the scriptures that tell how to properly worship Vyasadeva on this day. So I can handle it. I'll gather all the ingredients. No problem. So Lord Chaitanya and they stay the night at Srivas Thakur's house. Then in the morning they performing the proper ceremonies to honor Vyasadeva. And then there's a crucial time where you have to put the garland on Vyasadeva, you know, according to the time frame. So Srivas hands the garland to Lord Nityananda and says, please place this garland on Vyasadeva now. Nityananda says, so be it. And he holds the garland. So he comes and says, can you please do it? Can you please place the garland on Vyasadeva? He says, so be it. About 10 times. He didn't say it like that. That was me, sorry. Can you please place the garland on? Now's the time. It's the right time. So be it. So out of frustration, Srivas goes to Chaitanya. You're Nityananda. Can you get him to place the garland on Vyasadeva? So Lord Chaitanya goes up to him and says, Nitai, please place the garland on Vyasadeva now. So Lord Nityananda looks at Lord Chaitanya, says, yes. And he places it on Lord Chaitanya's head, the little garland. And all the devotees are totally ecstatic. So, and then they have kirtan. And that's the first time when Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda manifest dancing together in Navadvip. And Lord Nityananda, being the ecstatic personality that he is, some of his steps were smooth and graceful, and some of his steps were so heavy that every single time he stepped, it felt like the house was tilting down by the weight of his step. But somehow or other, they made it through the whole program. So many incidents happen, and time runs by. So I'm going to scoot up to when Lord Chaitanya decides to take sannyas, finally. When Lord Chaitanya finally decides to take sannyas, Lord Nityananda is the first person that he reveals his idea to. Lord Nityananda is completely overwhelmed by the fact that Lord Chaitanya wants to take sannyas. He's overwhelmed in lamentation. He's thinking of how much pain it's going to cause Sachimata. How much pain. Because her eldest son took sannyas and left and never came back. Her husband left his body, and there she was with her only son, Lord Chaitanya. And if he takes sannyas, what's going to happen to Sachimata? So Lord Nityananda says, Whatever you want to do, you will certainly execute. But please, just think of what's going to happen to Satchimata. So after saying this, Lord Nityananda went to a solitary place and cried for 3 days. Lamented for 3 days. So, but he also, in that mood of a servant, he facilitated all the arrangements that had to be made for the sannyas ceremony of Lord Chaitanya. And as he's and he's doing that, he's also thinking of what is Lord Chaitanya's mood, what will please Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya, after having received the sannyas mantra, he wants to go to Vrindavan. So Lord Nityananda understands what his real he wants to go to Vrindavan. That's a fact. But also Lord Chaitanya has so much attachment to his devotees that Nityananda understands something. And so instead of directing Lord Chaitanya, he makes a plan. Instead of directing Lord Chaitanya to follow the Ganges that will take him down to, or the Jamuna that will take him down to Vrindavan, he has him follow by speaking to some cowherd boys on the way. If Lord Chaitanya asks you for directions, instead of directing him that way to Vrindavan, tell him to go that way. Tell him Vrindavan's that way. So they did that, and the plan was working just fine. Lord Chaitanya was following the river in a certain way that he was actually headed towards Shantipur. And just as he comes to the river and sees the Jamuna, and takes his bath in the Jamuna, along comes a Dvaitacharya in a boat with some new cloth to put on after his bath. And Lord Chaitanya is so ecstatic to see Advaitacharya there in Vrindavan. He said, "Advaita, what are you doing? How did you get to Vrindavan?" He says, "Oh my Lord, wherever you are, that is Vrindavan." And then he thinks, something's fishy here. And then he realizes that Nityananda has tricked him. But, you know what I forgot to tell you? I forgot to tell you one other thing. Or a piece of information in sequence. After Lord Chaitanya, when he immediately took sannyas, all the residents of Navadvipa were devastated. And they were thinking, how are they going to live? How are they going to maintain their lives? So they go to Advaitacharya. What are we going to do now? Lord Chaitanya just left Navadvipa and he's taking sannyas. He took sannyas. What are we going to do now? Lord Advaitacharya said, "Well, I don't know what you guys are going to do, but I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to the bank of the Ganges, and I'm going to drown myself in the Ganges. And if you guys try to stop me, then I'm going to do it in the nighttime when you're asleep." And the devotee said, "We're not going to stop you. We're going to go with you. We'll all do it together." So they do that. They have that intention to go to the Ganges and to drown themselves. And they get to the shore of the Ganges and they hear a celestial voice that says, "Don't do this rash act. Do not do this. Your life is not over. Just be patient. In a few days, you'll be dancing with Lord Chaitanya again." So that gave them the hope and the will to live. So that's, I should have put in before I told you that Advaitacharya came on his boat, and when he came on his boat, he said to Lord Chaitanya, "Just come to my house. I've just made a few little sabjis, and we can have a little feast." And so Lord Chaitanya goes there, and of course, Advaitacharya's wife has cooked such an opulent prasadam and everything. And not only that, but also in part of the message that was delivered by Nityananda previously, he went and sent a messenger to have all the residents of Navadvipa come to Advaitacharya's house in Shantipur. And so there they danced with Lord Chaitanya for 3 days straight, and Satchimata begged the opportunity to cook for the Lord, since she wouldn't have that opportunity. And so now I'm just going to fast forward it to one more of my very famous favorite pastime. Hare Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya, in order to spread the holy name, he took sannyas. And he stayed by the order of Satchimata and the desire of the devotees. He stayed and made his residence in Jagannath Puri after he had traveled around. Okay? So, that when the devotees would come to during the Ratha Yatra festival to see the Lord, Lord Chaitanya pulled Nityananda aside and said, "You should marry. You should marry and in this way propagate the holy name." So interesting, right? So it's not, we're not cookie cutter Hare Krishnas. Everyone should take sannyas, everyone should do. There's all varieties of things according to time and place and circumstances and qualifications and attitudes. Okay, so Lord Chaitanya also tells Nityananda, go to Bengal, because I can't go to Bengal. Bound by the love of my mother, I'm staying here in Jagannath Puri. You go to Bengal and bring Krishna consciousness to everyone in Bengal. So Lord Nityananda had that plan. So Lord Nityananda, being Balaram himself, who is his associates? The coward boys, right? So the 12 coward boys, associates of Lord Nityananda, who are Gadadhar Das and a few others that somewhere in my notes I'll find it in a minute or two, probably at the end of class when it's all over I'll find who their names are. But they go to Bengal to propagate the holy name, and all that they do is they're chanting. They're in so much bliss and ecstasy that they're just chanting like madmen. Chanting and chanting and chanting and chanting and blissful and dancing and ecstatic kirtans all the way. They're not even thinking of the path. They're not even going on the correct path to Bengal. So they're chanting and chanting and dancing and in bliss and in ecstasy. And then they say, can you tell us where's the path to Bengal? And they say, ay, ay, you've gone 25 miles too far. Go back 25 miles and take a left. Or whatever. And so they say, okay, Haribol, no problem. And they're walking and chanting and dancing. And then they say, oh, can you tell us where the path to Bengal? You've come 35 miles the wrong direction. Go back. But somehow or other, in their ecstasy, they still make it to Bengal. And the thing is that Lord Nityananda's associates, they are also empowered like he is. Chaturatma Prabhu, how much time do I have? Am I like holding you up? Okay, great. Just what I needed to hear. Thanks. Sorry.
Technically, you've got till 9:30.
Okay, good. Which time zone is the question? That's the question. Okay, anyway. Yeah, soon. Okay, I'll just finish this long story. Okay. The associates of Lord Nityananda, they're also empowered, also. Like Abhiram Thakur. Thank you, Krishna, for reminding me of his name. Abhiram. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Abhiram Thakur is mentioned just in a brief, in the list of devotees. It says one time he took a flute and played it with a flute made out of 16 knots and played that flute. But the interesting story behind that flute of 16 knots is that it was a tree. Wasn't a little flute. They were so much in ecstasy that in their chanting and dancing, they would uproot trees. They would just hug the tree, uproot it. And one time, Abhiram Thakur, he stood stunned in the threefold bending form for 9 hours. And in the meantime, this is while they were trying to get to Bengal, and in the meantime, the kirtan party just surrounded him and was chanting the glories of the holy name, and he was stunned. And after 9 hours, that ecstasy broke, and then they continued on. Then another time, they were when they came into Bengal, finally coming into Panihati, at the house of Raghava Pandit, they also had kirtan there. And some of the coward boys climbed up some of the trees. They climbed up some of the trees, and they climbed up to the tippity-toppity branches. For those of you who have been tree climbers and in your younger years, everybody knows you have to go on the thick branches because the thin branches bend and then you bend onto your head, right? So They would climb up to the tippity top of the branches, and sometimes they would even dance on the leaves. They were in so much ecstasy. This is not what what's that disclaimer? Don't try this at home. Yeah. That disclaimer. Don't try this at home. But they would do that. They were in so. And then another time, this same Abhiram Thakur, he took a tree, and played it as a flute. And that was the tree that was indicated that had 16 knots in it. It was a tree, not just a small, lightweight flute. So this was Lord Nityananda's method of reaching everyone, by drowning them in the ocean of ecstatic love of Krishna. So there's many more things to say, but I think I will beg for your blessing and your mercy and stop there if you want to add anything or correct.
Hours and hours.
Okay. You want to translate that? Does that mean get out of here or keep going? No, okay.
No, he was when you asked if you want to add anything.
Oh, thanks. See, I need it.
Okay.
Well, nobody said anything, so then. Anyway, we'll stop there to facilitate more.